Good morning, everyone. I want to extend an extra special warm welcome to any who are here at YVV for the first time. We really hope you feel at home with us and are enjoying worshiping the Lord with us. And to all this morning, are you glad you came? Amen. Amen. Thank you to Simon and the crew who led us in worship this morning. That was wonderful. I'm glad you're glad you came. Just hold on to that thought as we go through the word this morning. We're in Luke chapter 10, and we're spending some weeks in Luke chapter 10 in a passage that runs from verse 1 to verse 24. And I'm going to read just three verses of that this morning. Jesus said, and he's giving instructions to 72 missionaries that he's sending out. Jesus says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you because you feed us through your word. You build us up and you lead us and guide us. You give light for our lives. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask for you to speak to us this morning. That as I speak, you, Lord, Holy Spirit, will be speaking. So that each one here this morning might hear from you that exact word that you wish to speak into their life. For each one to hear from you. For each one to know you better. And journey with you more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're spending some weeks in Luke chapter 10, getting some light from Jesus' instructions to the 72, and we're aiming to shine that light on our life and call here today. And I hope that by this point, 3 weeks into Luke 10, you can agree with me that there's some stuff in these instructions that is very relevant to Jesus' call on us as his people, and very relevant to our particular mission as YVV people. And I say that because on first reading, you could look at Jesus' instructions to the 72 and see them as something a million miles away from our experience. I mean, after all, that was first century AD, Israel, Palestine. This is 21st century Victoria, Australia. There are some differences. That was Jewish believers commissioned by Jesus to take a missionary tour of some Jewish towns. We are a mainly Anglo-Saxon congregation. We're a settled church, a settled community. We are settled and living in our own towns and suburbs. We're not on tour, and our communities are not Jewish towns and villages. There are some differences. That was a set of instructions for 72 specific people on a particular mission. We're looking at a different country, a different century, a different culture, a different mission. There are some differences. What realistic connection can we really make? Well, it's true, it was a different culture. So different that it might be quite hard for you to imagine a pair of wandering preachers from out of town turning up to run a preaching campaign with no budget for accommodation or food, and just expecting to be taken into somebody's home and housed and looked after and fed for the duration of the mission. I mean, is that how we live? That's nothing like our culture, is it? Let's have the first slide. Jesus says, when you enter a house, when someone offers you hospitality, first say, peace to this house. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking with them. I've highlighted in that passage some language that I'd like us to focus on. Your peace. Speak peace. A person of peace. That instruction to the 72 echoes what Jesus had taught the 12 to do. We see this in Luke chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus says, and in whatever house you are given entry, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust from off your feet when you leave. So in those instructions to the 12 in Luke 9, Jesus doesn't use the language speak peace, a person of peace, or peace resting on the person. Instead, he summarizes that whole process with the language of welcome. Then in Matthew's gospel, the two concepts of welcome and peace are really tied together. In Matthew 10, verse 11, Jesus tells the 12, whatever town or village you enter, search for whoever is worthy. This is an interesting word. And remain with them until you leave. As you enter into their house, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, your peace will return to you. If anyone will not welcome you, shake the dust, etc. So I think we've got some concepts there, some language that we can understand and probe a little bit. Slide 2. Given entry. The offering of hospitality. The speaking of a greeting. The speaking of peace. A person of peace. Or, as Matthew says, a worthy person. And that word, the Greek word in the text is hagios. And that word elsewhere is translated holy. Holy. A set aside person. A consecrated person. A person who is close to God in some way. All those elements add up to a welcome. So we can look at those elements and draw those out a bit and probe them a bit, which we'll do in just a few minutes. But first of all, this scenario of just turning up unannounced and being given free accommodation in the home of a total stranger for the duration of a mission campaign, that is another world, isn't it? I mean, from the perspective of 21st century Western culture, it's hard for most of us to understand how that would work or even picture it. Now, for us to understand why Jesus felt absolutely confident that his missionaries could receive that kind of a welcome in that place and culture, we need to remind ourselves of the story and the mores of that culture. Why would they allow entry and give hospitality to a stranger saying, I come in peace, I offer you my peace? For us to understand that, we need to go right back to the roots of that culture, right back to the book of Genesis. Now, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are among my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. And they contain writings that were given to explain us to ourselves and to answer the question,
What went wrong? To answer the question, what's wrong with the world? And so we have a sequence of ancient stories given to answer those questions. We have the story of the first people and the first disobedience in the creation and the mortalization of humans in the account of Adam and Eve. And then we have the story of the first human conflict, the first murder in the account of Cain and Abel. And then we hear of the first generations, the specialization of peoples, the first resetting of history, the repopulation of the planet, the separation of lands, the separation of peoples, the separation of languages, and then the beginning of prayer and religion. Then in Genesis 12, with the account of Abraham, we're in the world as we know it. But go back to Genesis chapter 4, to the account of Cain and Abel. It's a story that may be familiar to you, the story of the first murder. That prehistoric story comes from a time of nomadic tribes and farming communities, a time when people groups coexisted largely by staying out of each other's way. Let's have slide 3. If you occupied fertile territory, you had it made. That land would sustain you and give you a rich and healthy life. If, on the other hand, you were unlucky and you occupied territory that didn't deliver, that went into drought or became unproductive, then you were suddenly one vital link in the food chain down. And you would be forced into a nomadic existence with all the risks of suddenly bumping in to other people groups. You would be trespassing in their rich country. You would be threatening their food security and comfort. And you would be risking a violent welcome, if I can put it that way. All that is in the text of Genesis chapter 4. You'll remember Cain has just murdered his brother and God is punishing him. Genesis 4 verse 10, the Lord said, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will now be a nomad, a restless wanderer on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear," meaning I'm not going to survive. "You are driving me from the land. I will be a restless wanderer, and whoever's path I cross is going to kill me." Just to color that picture for you, some of you may have seen the Mel Gibson movie Apocalypto. How many folk here have seen that awesome movie? I do recommend it to you, but not if you're at all squeamish. It follows the progress of a young man, Jaguapur, one of a tribe living in Central America, foraging and fishing in the country's rich interior. It's a rich forest environment, and it seems a happy and healthy idyll until some strangers arrive in their part of the forest. The wanderers look hungry and frightened, and there's a moment of standoff as these two tribes suddenly encounter one another. "This is our forest," says the elder of Jaguapur's tribe. "Our fathers hunted and fished here. Our sons will hunt and fish here. .. The leader of the wandering tribe then lays down a generous gift of food for Jaguar Paw's tribe, a beautiful catch of fish. It is a peace offering. We simply wish to pass through, he says. Now, clearly, this kind of encounter can go one way or another. Put that request to a headhunting tribe, not going to be a good outcome. Slide 4. On this occasion, their peace offering is accepted. Jaguar Paw's tribe accept the peace offering and extend their peace to the nomads, and so the wanderers are welcomed to pass through. Thankfully, Jaguar Paw's tribe are not headhunters or cannibals. They are people of peace. When Abram left his settled life in the country of his fathers, he was taking an enormous risk as he traveled into unknown country, populated by unknown tribes. And then a famine in the place he chose forced him to move a second time. Abram's survival would depend on other people groups, anyone into whose land he traveled, accepting his peace offerings and extending their peace and hospitality. All the peoples on the earth today who are physically descended from Abraham owe their very existence to the fact that Abraham's ancient peace offerings in Egypt and Canaan were accepted by people of peace who extended their welcome to Abraham and his people. With the exception of one battle in a long life, it was this offering and receiving of peace that enabled Abraham to survive and thrive and become a father of nations in the promised land. That's why the offering of peace and welcome and hospitality to the nomad, the wanderer, the foreigner, the refugee was a value so fundamental to the cultures descended from Abraham, so fundamental that it was written into their stories and into their laws. They never forgot. My father was a wandering Aramean. My father was a nomad. My father was a refugee. So that value of giving and receiving peace, absolutely fundamental to those people groups. It's why Abraham was so insistent on entertaining the three mysterious visitors in Genesis 18. It's why when Job pleaded his virtue to God, he said that he had never denied hospitality to any stranger. It's why the wandering prophet Elijah could find hospitality wherever he went on his journeys, such as with the widow at Zarephath. It's why to this day, friends of mine who recently visited territory in Palestine came home telling me they had never experienced welcome and hospitality such as they experienced there. It is a fundamental Abrahamic value. And it is why Jesus was absolutely confident that his 72 missionaries visiting the towns and villages of Judea, greeting people with their peace, would find their peace accepted by people of peace. Slide 5. What then does it mean for us here and now to be welcomed into the lives of others? What does it mean for us to speak peace and to have our peace accepted. And what does a person of peace look like in our culture? Let me commend those questions to you. Perhaps you could chew on those a little bit in the days ahead. Perhaps in your life groups you could just touch upon them in your conversations. I want to share this morning just some beginnings of answers, and then I'll tell you a couple of stories to illustrate. Slide 6. I believe that speaking peace for us can relate to what we speak, what we bring into conversations, how we begin conversations, how we begin relationships, how we give respect and honor to the other person, how we recognize and affirm the other person, how we seek and find shared ground and agreement with another person, how we communicate our desire for the other person to be blessed, and how we speak blessings to them, how we enter another person's world as a good guest, and invitations that we extend to the other person. The second question, how do we know our peace is being received and welcomed? Here are some clues that we can look for. The person is glad to see you. The person is happy to talk to you. The person is happy to talk longer than necessary. The person remembers what you said last time and asks you questions. They take an interest in you. All these are clues. They're happy for you to get a degree closer than a stranger. The person shares things about their life. The person extends an invitation. Basically, all the same things you will be doing if you are offering your peace to another person. And the third question, what does a person of peace look like? They could be a colleague. They could be a neighbor. It could be someone you do business with, someone you sell to or serve, someone you buy from. They could be a stranger. They could be someone you pass on the street. I'm going to give you 2 quick-fire illustrations just to illustrate those lists, and then we'll take a little time in prayer. But I'm going to leave those 2 lists up just to help you identify some of the elements of these stories. So just keep your eye on those lists as I tell these stories. I used to pass a house on the route between my local shop and my front door. And I'm always on the lookout for people of peace. And so I try to maintain a pattern of micro shopping frequently done instead of a mega shop. That way, I go to the shops frequently, I talk to people frequently, I get to know people. And I make that my habit, especially when I move to a new place. And so I would walk past this house quite often. And almost every day I walked past that house, there was a grand-looking older gentleman with a big white beard sitting at a desk in the window. And we both started noticing. And then we went from noticing to waving. And then after we'd been waving a few weeks, I thought, this guy should know who he's waving to. So I went and knocked on his door and introduced myself. Hello, I'm Paul. I'm a pastor of one of the local churches here. Are you a writer? You've got a magnificent writer's desk there. No, he said, I'm a conductor of orchestras. Yes, he said. wow, what a wonderful job to have. And how many lives you must have touched and hearts inspired by doing that work. That must be the most wonderful job. Are you a famous conductor? And he said, reasonably. Well, that's even better then. Well, a few weeks later, his wife insisted that I should join them for afternoon tea, just to find out a bit more about them. So I ate and drank with them and found out how famous he really was. And a few weeks later, she invited me again to visit him, this time in hospital, after he'd had a major stroke. And so I was given opportunity to minister to his need. Not very long after that, I was at his bedside, holding his hand and blessing him, telling him of the love of Jesus, and praying for him as he passed from this life to the next. His name was Charles Groves, and it's possible one or two of our musicians might know his name. But looking on those lists, I see that as a story of peace being offered, peace being received, people welcoming each other into each other's lives. And I think many of the elements are spelled out in those lists. You can see it here in that story. I used to go to a barber's shop called Razor's Edge. It was a very cleverly conceived and designed business. Classic enough to get the old guys who needed to go in for eyebrows and ear hair trimming. But subtly hip enough to get the young guys' business too. I noticed that. And I noticed that Lloyd, the owner, and all his colleagues were always happy to see each one of their customers. They seemed to know all their names, and they seemed to remember exactly where they'd left off in their previous conversation. And I told Lloyd how much I loved those things about his business. And how had he learned to do that? Well, this was a topic very close to his heart. He was very happy to talk about that. But we talked about all sorts of things. And I began noticing that the haircut became longer in duration than was absolutely necessary. And then one day he said, Paul, if you come at 5 o'clock, we can carry on chatting. You'll be my last customer and we can talk while I'm shutting up the shop. That was a little clue. My piece had been accepted. Well, sometimes the shutting up of shop didn't allow us enough time for our conversation. So we said, look, we need to get together for a beer sometime so we can have a longer conversation. And so we did. And then we began eating in one another's homes. And in all these conversations, there was one topic that he just couldn't stay away from. This Jesus business. Lloyd was Jewish. Could I please explain to him how Jesus fits into the picture? Yeah, Lloyd, I'd be happy to. Peace being spoken, peace being received. Again, just take a look at the list. I think the elements are there in that story. A person of peace in our culture, in our settled lives, is simply someone who welcomes you into their life, who welcomes your speaking of peace over them in whatever way you express it. People of peace are the ones who welcome us into their world and who are happy for our paths to cross with theirs. They may be people you work with. They may be people you campaign with. Jenny Oxer was telling me such a story just the other day. They may be people on the same dog walk as you. Rob Carter was telling me such a story the other day. They may be people in the same gym as you. Dave Kerr was telling me such a story. They may be people you sell to. They may be people you buy from. I have a particular soft spot for people I buy from. Just thinking quickly about it, I can think of 11 friends of mine who I first met by shopping in their shops. But wherever it is that you notice people who are glad to see you and who will talk with you longer than absolutely necessary and talk about all kinds of things, wherever you notice these people of peace, what are we to do with them? Well, in the next few weeks, we're going to unpack that process, but I'm just going to quickly summarize Jesus' answer to that question. You eat and drink with them. You stick with them. You minister to their needs as opportunity comes, especially in healing. And you tell them how close they are to the kingdom of God. But it's how we begin those relationships, how we spot those people in the speaking of peace, in the giving and the receiving of peace. That is what unlocks the door to this whole process. And so I'm going to pray for us in a moment that the Lord will open our eyes to see very clearly who the people of peace are in our lives right now. Because those people, if you're thinking of them, it means they have given you an invitation for your path to cross with theirs. They've given you an invitation to get closer, carrying all that you do of the kingdom of God and all that you do of the gospel. So let's stand together and we're going to pray. I am going to suggest that you just pray with the person standing next to you. The chances are you already know, you already have in your mind who these people are, these people of peace. There may be some people that you're actively seeking to serve and befriend. But just in case, I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal someone he's going to give you a particular opportunity with. And then I want us to pair up. Pray for those people. Pray a blessing for them. Pray for the opportunity. Pray for the quickness and the obedience to respond to the opportunity when it comes. Lord, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your great ability to lead us and guide us. We thank you that you're within us and that people can sense the peace that comes with us. Lord, open our eyes to see those doors that are opening, those people who are welcoming us, those who are the people of peace in our lives. We ask you this because we're going to respond in the days ahead.